support for Success Express, your business, career, and financial radio magazine. Hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio Success Express Show with employment attorney Ward Heinrichs. He's based out of San Diego, but really, he covers all of California. And he's joining us back on the show today to talk about California's new employment laws for 2022. This is always a big deal when he comes on the show to give us the big roundup of laws. And this year, I think it's even more important because some of the laws could change. And it's been actually a really interesting past year or two with COVID, with laws changing all the time. And you can read his article up on Success Express in that section on blendradioandtv.com. And I also encourage you to go to his website, bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com. So welcome back, Ward. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I've been super busy lately. The changing in laws and new cases are affecting me too. So that's a good thing. And also the weather has cleared up a little bit and I'm really happy about that. It was great to get the rain, but it's nice to have a sunny day.
Oh, it's good to have a little sunshine. I know you guys in San Diego, we love San Diego. You have the best weather. It is one of the, you can have go to the desert, the water, got the ocean, lakes, you got the mountains with snow. Hoping Julian gets some snow this year, you know?
Yeah, I think they have some.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, awesome. So I want to get right into these laws, you know, and everybody, we have an update. Ward will be on every fourth Wednesday of Big Blend Radio, starting in 2022. But actually, even starting in 2021, because you'll be in our end of year happy hour party, looking forward to 2022. So that'll really happen, but that's exciting. So that's not a law, but it's our Big Blend law. Because things are changing so much, so it's important. And the first thing is COVID-19, the laws regarding COVID, because there's federal, there's state, and then there's just San Diego, right? So let's start at the top with federal. And so federal is the main thing. And so everybody has to listen to that, right? So what President Biden says.
Absolutely, because any federal mandate that were to come down would apply to all the states, and the states can't override it. I mean, it's we call it the superior sovereign in law. The federal law is superior to the state law. So if there's a conflict, the federal law wins. And I know that this got pretty much coverage, and that's about the order that our president was talking about. Having employers that have 100 or more employees make sure that everyone is vaccinated or is getting tested regularly during each week. That was put on stay by a court in the fifth district court of appeal has that now, and they're deciding what to do with it and whether they'll eventually side with the president and say yes. Employers who have 100 or more employees have to make sure that this COVID stuff's taken care of either by a vaccination or frequent testing. But right now it's up in the air. We don't know. And so that may change next year. We'll just see what's going to happen.
Oh, wow. So in 2022 is when we'll hear from the, I'm looking at, I know that this is airing, December 20th, I believe. Yeah, we're recording this on Friday. December 17th, just for everybody to keep in track of the law. So in 2022, but there's people working now and it could be all different, but 2022 is when we'll see a change for this. Okay. And then, so where's California on everything right now?
Yeah. Well, there's not a specific employment one right now, but there is a mandate from Governor Newsom saying that we are highly recommended, but I think it's a mandate. You really need to wear masks in indoor settings now. And so that's not just for businesses, but obviously it affects businesses tremendously. So I think you'll see restaurants enforcing that more. And then when you get to the table, then you can take it off when you're eating. I have tickets to a UCLA game. My middle daughter goes to UCLA. She's a sophomore right now. And we're going to go see a UCLA basketball game. But this new order came into effect after I bought the ticket. So I'm not sure what I'm going to be able to do. Do I have to wear a mask all the time? Will they cancel it? I don't know.
Yeah. It's weird.
But it's like it has changed overall.
The whole Omicron thing is such a weird thing. I mean, they just announced that, you know, if you got the Johnson & Johnson jab, that, you know, good luck on you. Good for
right.
you.
Yep.
You're up. you're, you know, good luck. You got to go get
you
the
got a lousy
thing.
Shot.
Yeah, you got a lousy shot, but it was good on the Delta, right? So it was better on the Delta, but sucks with Omicron. But then what happens? You know, but then they said at one point you can't get a booster for 6 months. I mean, it goes up and down about what you can and can't do.
It's confusing.
Every day is a new thing, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah, whether and listen, the last game we went to that involved the Bruins was a USC versus Bruins football game. And let me tell you, that was some lively, crazy stuff. You do need to wear a mask.
That was
you should wear a mask. That was wild. But
it was fun.
It was fun. It was.
Yeah. And we don't know anything about football, but it was
fun. Was that this year?
No, this was a long time ago. A dear friend of ours decided we needed to learn about football and took us to a USC game, and the Bruins were there, and apparently this was a big deal, and everybody was like storming each other, and we got out there, and
this was after we forced him to watch a football game with the sound off on the television playing in that Nutcracker Suite, which is really funny if you do it. It's really
funny. I'm just saying, just do it.
I wouldn't mind that because you can see the action anyway.
But it's funny how they go in time to the music.
Don't start me on that.
That's what got me. The first time I did, I was like, they're going in time to the music.
It's really quite fun.
It's really, really interesting.
And you can do it to soccer or football, whatever you know.
Football. Yeah.
All right. I'll try it this weekend.
Okay,
oh, cool.
Good. I want to hear
because
Nutcracker or any
because
classical
sometimes
music.
They would be jumping over somebody else that's trying to tackle them, and the flutes would go off. And I'm like, look at that.
That's
it's
pretty
awesome.
Magical. But anyway, so
anyway,
now
moving right along.
Oh, so I think it's even amazing that we're even having sports during this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know that they're able to do that, and like,
yeah,
you know, all the Hollywood things are back on track and they're like in their bubbles, you know, all basically talk about having to live together and work together. That's a whole other weird thing with COVID. And then you could be on a set in Santa Fe and the gun goes off. So like, it's been a weird year of trying to get that back off. I won't get, would that be an employment law thing, by the way, with what's happening with Alec Baldwin?
Well,
I suppose
it could be because it was during work, but I did read something where they're, some of the people who are claiming mental injury, which I could see, you know, that's reasonable.
Oh, PTSD.
Expect someone to die on the set.
Yeah.
We're talking about getting work comp claims, and I guess they got turned down.
Ooh.
I think that's the last thing I read on that. And so there is an employment angle on it, but I think most of it's not going to be employment. It's going to be, you know, negligence and recklessness and all this other stuff that is a different type.
I know. As soon as we heard that, we're like,
well,
oh, Lord.
But then you have to take into account they're all actors and actresses. And so they like can do the drama. Like, convince
people. Well, if you're on the jury, you get to weigh that in. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You can see like live theater, you know. But, cool. But this is a serious case. Some, you know, there was death
involved.
Oh, it's
super serious.
It's a serious thing. But it's also like why, like ammunition and guns, like, anyway, going back to COVID can be ammunition and a gun in its way because it has killed so many people. So we've got federal, state, and then San Diego. Is San Diego different than the state law?
I have not heard that there is a difference right now. The state law is kind of is the order that we're living by now, where you can't be in enclosed spaces with people without a mask.
So everyone's really posting to websites. So, you know, this is the one thing I would say for employees, they should also look, not just the employers, and tell the employees what to do. Wouldn't you say the employees should also be aware?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Knowledge is power.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because sometimes if your boss is not going up to speed, and you get COVID because he doesn't say, and you know what I mean? Like he or she.
Well, it might, you know, there, I did work on a, it wasn't, didn't turn into a lawsuit, but a case where The employee was alleging that the workplace was unhealthy. Mm. And so that, you know, if you don't meet the COVID requirements, I think you've got an argument that, hey, mm. you created this unhealthy situation and mm. you need to remedy it.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. I can see that happening.
And speaking of COVID, how is things like, is everyone trying to settle out of court? Is court still backlogged? So they want to settle before going to court just to not have the backlog.
Well, I haven't seen a rush to settlement, at least in my caseload. I think it's cases that should settle are settling. And if you have to file in court, you're right. It's going to take longer.
So it better be worth it.
I've been in for 2 years. And yeah. we're still not close to a trial date, which is really unusual to be in there 2 years. I don't think we need to. It's just taken a long time to develop. And we'll probably be able to settle it at some point in, you know, next year. But we don't have a trial date. And so there's not a lot of pressure. Now that, I would agree with you, there isn't pressure to settle based on trial dates. So.
Wow. Oh, wow. So if you wanted to get, if you want closure soon, you're going to maybe have to settle. That's kind of where I was thinking, you know, if there's not a trial date real fast. But speaking of settlements, Ward, settlement agreements, that's one of your new things.
Oh, yeah.
The California enacted a law reading from your article, prevented employers from keeping the underlying case facts of a sexual harassment settlement confidential. Wow. Okay.
Yes, that was very common. And this is not just sexual. All right. So there is a law that was passed, I don't know, 2 years ago, I think, that said if it's a sexual harassment case, the defendant, the employer, isn't allowed to require a provision that would keep the facts of the case confidential. So if the employee were to say, here's what happened to me after they signed the settlement agreement, then the employer could say, you breached the agreement, you didn't keep it confidential, and we're going to come back and get our money.
Oh,
or some other type of damage. It might be liquidated damages. There are other ways to handle it, but potentially, you know, try to claw back the money. So what the legislature said was, we don't like that. And we don't like the fact that you're trying to make these facts confidential. They should be able to disclose it afterwards. So we're going to, and this was a couple of years ago, we're going to say that you can't do that. And if you do that, the provision in the settlement agreement is void. It's just as if it doesn't exist. But they expanded that this year, which will go into effect on January 1st of 2022, to include all types of harassment and discrimination. So not just sexual, but anything that's based on any of the other reasons.
Race, age, gender, all of it.
Right. Any of the other protected classes that are in FEHA, which is the Fair Employment and Housing Act in California.
So are you saying that once you've been paid for the wrongdoing, that you have to keep quiet about it, or you're allowed to speak about it?
The old way before these laws were passed was you have to keep quiet about it because employer would always put a provision in. I see millions of them. Provision in where it says, you can't talk about this. And so, they're probably not going to because they want to keep the money.
Right.
But now the legislature said, we don't like that. We're outlawing it.
Yeah, because it's kind of like blackmail in a way.
In a way. I mean, it's a settlement agreement. You don't have to sign the agreement. You could say, hey, I'm not going to shut up and you still have to pay me. Don't, you know, so you could argue about it and see where it goes. But most people, you know, they're seeing.
They just want
some cash and they don't want to fight over this language that they don't really care about.
But then on the other side, the other people would be going, well, why should we pay you if you're going to mouth off? What's the point of paying you?
Well, because then you might go to trial and get a higher verdict. I mean, the idea behind a settlement is we see gray air. We think we have a pretty good defense. All right. That's what defendants think. As a defense attorney, when I am a defense attorney, I do both. I do plaintiff and defense. But when I'm a defense attorney, I think we've got a pretty good case here. But boy, I can see that if something went wrong at trial, you know, this case might not be worth only, you know, $5,000. This could be $500,000, you know, if it goes wrong. And so you want to take away the risk. That's the idea of settlement. I don't want to face the potential $500,000. $50,000. So rather, you know, maybe we'll only get five. I'll give you $50,000 to go away.
Mm.
And then, and you, so you negotiate over that number.
Mm.
And, you know, the facts drive a lot of that, et cetera.
Ah, see, so that's why you settle, because you're going, it's a compromise.
It's a compromise.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay.
So we got a compromise. Now let's go into wage theft, because this is, Nancy and I were talking about this today, reading your article. Wage theft. We've talked so much, especially in the hospitality industry, Ward, about mm-hmm. tips being, you know, divvied up and not given for a full year or whatever. So wage theft, is this something? Well, mm-hmm. that's not wages. Tips are not wages. So I've got to clarify. But there's been things where, is this like you're not getting paid your overtime, or is this like, hey, just come in and help in, and, you know, we'll just, you know, give you a lollipop for working today. Like, where are we on?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's more like you get to keep your job from some of the places we've seen. If it's more like, if you want to keep your job, come in to work on a holiday, but you don't get that extra pay that you might be entitled to for working a holiday. Is that wage theft?
Well, there's a lot of gray area in what wage theft really is.
Yeah.
And so I think what's going to happen with this as it the law develops is juries are going to have to decide what they think wage theft is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's going to be a lot of free rein in there, because there's a lot of gray area. Mm-hmm. Certainly, if the employer is thinking, yeah, I'm going to bilk my employees, and there's facts that show that, but that's going to be wage theft.
Yeah.
Now, is just not paying overtime wage theft? Part of it's going to depend on the intent, I think. Part of it's going to intent on how it was done, or whether how often it's done, you know. I think
that's a big
what I'm trying
area.
To say is, it's not a completely clear area exactly what wage theft is.
So, but wage theft is now a crime. So that is a crime. So this could be a felony. This is not like, you go back and say, hey, you didn't pay me and now you owe me. And then the court says, pay them back. This is now actually where somebody could really get fined on top of it and even have a felony against the business. If they're not a an LLC, I can't say that big word. An LLC.
I'm a liability company.
There you go. That's why you're the lawyer.
That's right.
But the LLC, and I'm a great radio host because I can't pronounce anything, but LLC versus like, hey, I'm a self-employed person, or like I'm an independent small business and I didn't do the LLC. And if it's a crime, would that be a felony on you as an individual versus your business because you didn't do the LLC?
Yeah. I've done cases that are similar to this where there's a statute that talks about making a criminal case out of not paying or not having workers' comp. And that's very unusual. Ooh. But yeah. I did have one that happened. And so what the prosecutor's trying to do was include the owner in on it as well as the business. And so we really fought about that, and they finally, so the owner, bottom line is the owner could be liable. It's possible. And here's my one caveat of all this. I haven't read the criminal statute, and that's really what this is going to. So I don't know exactly how that criminal statute's written. But if it's anything like the work comp one, yes, the owner could be charged, and that's where the fight is, because if you have a company on probation, it's not such a big deal. So are you gonna throw the company in jail? You know, no.
See, that's why everybody pays for the LLC.
Well, and there is some protection, but there's less protection than there used to be. I can go on and on about that, about how the labor code now makes individual owners and managers potentially liable for.
Ooh, next segment, Ward.
Yeah, we have talked about it before. I don't think we've made it a whole segment, but we have talked about this before. So they can be liable for wage, at least some wage violations. So yeah. Anyway, having a corporation in employment law doesn't protect you from you as an individual from all the ramifications of the labor code.
So is this only a California thing with wage theft, or is that like a...
Well, this is the California law we're talking about.
Oh, wow.
Really okay. I probably didn't do enough homework on this. I'm sure there's a criminal statute out there, and I didn't look at it.
But what happens to you, though, with that? I mean, as an employment attorney, when it comes to criminal stuff, isn't that where you go, okay, now we bring in the criminal attorney, or do you fight, stay in there with the client?
I used to practice criminal law.
Yeah.
There's 10 years of my being a lawyer, my career, I practiced criminal law. So on the case I just mentioned about the workers' comp, yeah, I represented him on it. You know, I feel comfortable enough to do that. I might not always know the latest law in that, but, you know, I look at the law that's specific to that case.
So when you look at the laws, you go, okay, here's the law. Like, how can we, it's a great debate, isn't it? Really, when you're lawyering, like going out and taking a client who's done something, is like, dude, am I going to get nailed? And you go, uh-oh, you're in trouble. Then what do you do? Mm. Do you just go for the big fight, or say at this point you need to settle? That you have to look at that, what's best for your client. If they really did a no-no, like, you have to go.
Yeah, right? No, the facts drive the case, and the power of the government is part of that too. Mm-hmm. In criminal law, the government power is pretty big. I mean, because you're going to jail, you know, potentially. Yeah. Misdemeanors, probably not. You know, a felony, probably are. But it does depend. It varies. And so that's always the consideration. You know, do I have to face jail? And sometimes you tell them, hey, no, there's a lot of bad facts out there. I mean, if you were in a jury and you heard this, how would you feel about it?
Yeah.
You do have to have real come to Jesus talks with clients sometimes. Mm. Well, all the time. I'm always telling what I think. Here's my best estimate of what's going on. That's part of the calculus that goes into any type of settlement for sure.
And then what about like when it's a business, right? Like, I know you work with a lot of restaurants and the hospitality industry. I mean, you're in San Diego. You got breweries, you got hotels, you got, you know, all kinds.
I haven't represented a brewery, and I would like to.
Hello, brewery.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Ward.
Carl Strauss, Carl Ward. It sounds good. But when you think about, you know, when something goes down, there's reputation. And so isn't that also come into fact of like, squish it. I don't want people to think, you know, look at Starbucks getting in the news because of racist things, you know, being said by employees. And it's like, that can take a brand down. It can. And if something
that hurts,
and sometimes it should get nailed for whatever, like Starbucks needed to get its, you know, little thingy slapped on what was going on, you know? So, and that obviously they needed some training, and you know, they needed Ward, you know, to set them straight before they got into trouble. I know that's part of what you do too, but isn't that also certainly, like, if you messed up with someone and you know, now this gets into a criminal deal with theft, wage theft, that could take out a business in some ways, right? Couldn't it take out, like, you don't want it to get out into the local newspaper?
No, you wouldn't. That's now local newspapers. I've back when I did criminal law, those local newspapers would pick up some of the cases that I did, but there's, you know, most of the cases. No, I mean, because I did more misdemeanors than I did felonies. That's one thing. And then even if you have a felony, maybe it's not quite interesting enough to write about. So not all this stuff is going to get publicized. And I think most of the wage things that I work on, you know, it's just, unless it's like a class action, it's probably not going to get press. And even there's so many class actions that I've worked on. You know, I used to do a lot of that about 10, 15 years ago. I was doing a lot of it. Only a few of those made it into the paper. Not all of them do. So I think, you know, that's part of probably my job. And normally it's something that I don't have to worry about because the case isn't big enough that it's going to make the papers or get on the news. But some are, and that is something to think about. Certainly, if that's the kind of case. Hmm. And like you mentioned Starbucks. I mean, they were trying to unionize, and that made big press all over the country.
Hmm.
So that stuff, yeah, they have to be very careful about that.
Well, I know.
By and large, not. Yeah. I mean, most of the stuff that I've done, it's not going to affect the company's reputation that badly. I mean, this guy, for instance, if he had gone down on a bad crime, you know, a felony, so it was a felony, that wouldn't have made the papers. I would be very surprised if that made the papers.
Well, not just the papers, but what about people in their personal blogs? That's what I think about it. Like a restaurant doesn't want any negative anything because it just starts. You know what I mean? We're in this digital age.
No, you're right. And I haven't run into that kind of case.
That's good.
Since the digital age has really kicked in. I would say I've caught up in the last 5 years personally. And I think that's where you see more of it now. You know, the case I was talking about is like 7 or 8 years old. So I don't think that stuff was that big of a deal yet. But you're right. Now it is.
I want to do a segment with you about when people start to trash companies on social media. And people have put up entire websites against companies if they're that mad at them for good reason. And I know. And I could start, but I have to give you a list of companies that need to have that happen and have had that happen. And I'd like to join forces. But is there a way, like when it comes to employment law, where should you go to an attorney before you start posting all that stuff? That's something that I always find interesting. Or do you do it and then the game gets hotter and then you go to your attorney? Or do you go to the attorney and say, I'm going to do this? And the attorney says, well, if you do this, this, you know what I mean?
All right. In a perfect world, if attorney's in charge, always go to an attorney before you post
Exactly. go to Ward. He gives you a free consultation.
Well, no, but it's a lot cheaper. It's a lot cheaper than lawsuits.
Well, no, that's true.
Advice.
But I think most of these people who get on glass ceiling and stuff, they're not really worried about it. And I don't think the company's probably going to sue them for defamation. Now, remember, defamation, you have to tell an untruth. So lie, however you want to call that. But if you tell the truth, then you're protected under defamation. Now, what is the truth could be a question. And if it's kind of gray, is this an opinion? Is it a lie?
Can we sue for it?
You could get swept up into something like that. And if you're just Joe Schmo on the street, then that might not be very comfortable. Now, maybe the normal person on the street doesn't have enough money to go. I talk to companies about this fairly frequently. I go, well, you can sue them. Clearly you can sue them, but I don't think you're going to be able to collect. I think you're going to win, but you're not going to be able to collect. They just don't have that much. So it's another,
That's true. Like why bother?
And that could end up being a bad PR. That's not good PR. PR companies, I know, want everybody to just do good things and don't do bad things unless you're a musician. And then we have good PR for you when you do that, So let's talk about, we got to go back. Cause your article, we talked about new garment manufacturing laws the last time. And Ward has a whole article up and interview on that, but I want to back up a little bit on the California Family Rights Act. So this is, they've added a few things to this bill. So give us an overview. That was one of the things we talked about for 2021. So now they've kind of cleared up some of the lingo.
Yeah. I'm going to have to take a quick look at my article because the one thing I do remember is the mediation program, which is super important. For small employers who have 15 to 19 employees. I better back up. The California Family Rights Act this year, starting January 1, 2021, became effective against all companies who had 5 or more employees. Before it was 50 or more. So that was the big thing. I mean,
It
all of a sudden dragged in a lot of smaller companies who have to consider giving 12 weeks of unpaid leave for serious health conditions.
Wow.
And it didn't just apply to the employer. It also applied to your spouse's serious health condition, your kid's serious health condition. Then they expanded it with that, changing it from 5 to 50, also to grandparents, parents-in-law. And that was the thing that one of the things this year that they also corrected was they wanted to make sure that everyone understood that if your parent-in-law has a serious health condition, you can take up to 12 weeks off unpaid to help them.
Unpaid.
Now, that doesn't mean it won't be paid, because you can elect to use your PTO or vacation time.
And
companies can have policies that require it. They can actually require that you use your PTO or vacation time while you're out. So part of it might be paid. Let's say you get 4 weeks of vacation pay a year. So, and you were got a full 12-week leave. Well, the first 4 weeks could be paid by vacation, and then the last 8 weeks will be unpaid. But then you're allowed to come back to your job.
Yeah, you don't lose your job.
You don't lose your job, and they can't discriminate against you for that. So those were the two big things, was the mediation program, which is really cool, because I think small employers, the 519, really need a shot of taking care of this before it's a lawsuit. So I kind of like the idea of having a mediation program before you file a lawsuit. So they have to mediate. They have to try to mediate before the employee can go into court and sue. And then the other one is that parent-in-law truly is one of the protected classes in this. And so if your parent-in-law has a serious health condition, you can get the time off.
Oh, that's cool.
That makes sense.
That's cool. I think, you know, I think mediation is good. I think, you know, everybody just wants to, let's go to court and kill each other.
You know, I think you're supposed to go to court so you don't
take each other out. You know what I mean? Not kill each other, but you know what I mean? There's that anger, because it gets emotional.
There can be. No, there can be. It really depends on the case. Some people are very emotional about it. And in some cases, cry out for it. In other cases, it's more like a business thing. And it doesn't mean that people aren't upset. But, you know, eventually they'll take a step back and go, well, this is just a business thing I got to take care of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's something, do you have to like talk with your clients, especially, is the employee side more? Well, I think everyone's got their different thing depending on what's going on, but like get people kind of.
Wow. I've had it on both sides.
Is both sides. Yeah, really. Because if it's a small business or your company, you're going to be.
Right.
Not one of those people. Really, I won't go to sleep until it's done. You know what I mean? There's always sort of that. I won't sleep.
There's always two sides to every story, and both sides can be ultra, ultra upset and emotional, or one can be like the cold, I don't care, and the other side's totally emotional.
And then that becomes a bigger drama when that happens.
I know. And it's so like to ferret out the truth of between all the emotions. You know, to get right down just the facts, ma'am, just the facts, so you can actually decipher the case and present it well.
I would agree with you on that you need to be able to step back to make good decisions.
Yeah.
But the emotion can be effective in court too. So don't want to step back and be an omelet. Yeah.
I know you don't want to be like this big cold business person, because then
you have to, because people have to relate as humans. We relate to each other, you know, and it's true. Like if you were sexually abused and you're in court going, I was sexually abused. That's not going to do as well. You know what I mean? It's not going to. Well, I mean, you could be like that.
You might turn it. You might be able to turn it and say she is so damaged that she can't have a strong emotion about it right now.
Yeah. Look what's going on with all these girls with the gymnasts. Look at that. Look at that whole thing with the gymnasts and everything. I mean, geez, like we really have a lot of cleaning up to do in our world. Ward, get at it.
Yeah. Well, did you see the settlement though? It was like $330 million, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was a decent settlement. And when I divided it up, I think they had 500 girls, about 500.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how many girls.
About half a million apiece.
Can you believe how many girls? And that's not right. That doesn't, half a million apiece. Does that really, that's not a, that wasn't, I'm sorry, it just doesn't.
Money
just
can never make up for something.
It's a way of at least paying for therapy to get past things.
It's the best we have.
It's what else are you going to ask for?
But what happens when like something like that, and then who, What if they don't have the money? Then you're going to go and you know, go after someone who did all this bad stuff and doesn't have that. I mean, where does the money come from for someone who's done all that? You know what I mean?
No, yeah, absolutely. You know, a defendant who goes bankrupt, you know, it's hard to get any money.
I know. It's like, okay, they did all this bad stuff and there's no recourse, you know.
But at least that's what jail's for. This day and age, you have a recourse. And that's why I like this program, because letting people know that there's a recourse. Like when I was working for a particular company and something happened and I had no idea that I could have gone to a lawyer. Mm. I really didn't know that. I had no idea that that was an option. Mm. So I just quit the job and moved on. But it can get serious in the workplace.
Oh, that brings to a good point. Like, how many times could you go to the HR person and the HR person is so company loyal that
they don't want
preventing you from going to you for help, Ward?
Going to an
attorney. Like, mm-hmm. Does that ever happen in a company where somebody's, you know, gone through some kind of abuse or something? Mm-hmm. They go to the HR, they do something, they try to all get everybody back on track or whatever, but there's still mm-hmm. a problem. And the HR just doesn't want it to become a lawsuit, right? Is there a buffer zone? Does that happen with HR and attorneys?
That's going to be a big company.
Well,
yeah.
All right. I think I've seen HR do two things. And I'm talking about cases when I was representing plaintiffs where they might give bad advice and not do it properly, and then they expose the whole company because of it. So that can happen.
Ooh.
And then the other thing I think is that if they're really doing their job, I think the best thing to do is to let what you said, though, is to try to fix it as best they can and really empathize with what's going on. And that doesn't mean that they're still not working for the company, but that means by empathizing and trying to do some good things, maybe you keep your company out of trouble.
Mm. But so sometimes it needs to.
Against that kind of stuff. Mm. Now, in terms of keeping them away from an attorney, I don't.
Not keeping, but like kind of encouraging them not to. Like, we don't want you to go there. Like, do this. It's all okay. It wasn't that bad.
You better be careful about saying it like that. You go, well, we don't want you to go to an attorney. I mean, right away. Maybe I'll go to an attorney now.
Yeah, exactly. Does that happen? Does that happen? No. Have you ever?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well,
no one's ever told me a story.
I just thought had to ask. It's a good question. I mean, because you never know. It's like, oh, honey, that happens all the time. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get all these calls from HR companies. HR companies are going to call. That's not what we do. We try to solve problems, not just shush them. You know, I know I'm going to get it. Okay. So we need to go to the almighty minimum wage. It's still going up. It's still getting changed. And salaries are involved now too.
Yeah. I think I've talked about salaries every time a little bit because the California minimum wage increase affects the amount of salary that an employer has to pay to keep an employee exempt. So that's always important. So that goes up as well when the minimum wage goes up. So the minimum wage now in California is $14. Well, next year, 2021, January 1, 2022, it will be $14 an hour for employers who have 25 or fewer employees, and $15 an hour for employers who have 26 or more employees. And there are, of course, different cities that do it differently. For instance, San Diego has $15 an hour starting next year for everyone in the city of San Diego. But that means if you're outside the city of San Diego, you might only get 14.
If you're 14. In the mountains, you might only get 14 if you're in Julian.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because you get snow. You get four seasons in Julian, so you get paid less.
I guess that's it.
I don't know. I'm just saying, but that's, I didn't mean it harshly, but it's city specific for San Diego. Lastly, let's touch on the Garment Workers Protection Act, because this is something new. And basically you've got to be careful if you're the brand and the manufacturer. This is
Absolutely.
This is a good law. Hmm.
Well, yeah, it is a good law. I think that the manufacturers in that industry have been able to, through series of contracts, get workers who are working for very, very cheap, even in our country. Now, you know, in the world, I don't think we can fix that. I mean, you're just not going to make as much money in some of the stands, you know, around the Caspian Sea, Afghanistan and all those other places.
Yeah.
So wages are just going to be lower there. But at least in California, they can't give wages according to piece rate, meaning you can't pay per garment. You have to pay at least the minimum hourly wage, because I guess there was abuse in that. Mm-hmm. I've read lots of articles that said there's abuse about it. So I'm not even guessing. There was abuse in that. Mm. What was the other thing? Doggone it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of, I mean, this is a pretty decent.
Yeah, that was it. If the worker is working, you know, all the way down the chain, and let's say you've got Versace making, you know, who's a garment manufacturer, big famous garment manufacturer?
Ralph Lauren.
Let's say.
Now we're going to get in trouble. Don't get us.
No, it's Ralph Lauren. Not Lauren.
You know, it's a hypothetical. I'm not saying they do this.
I know, just kidding.
But let's say that they go, all right, here's what we can pay for this contract. And then that the guy who's got that contract is not the brand, maybe a brand guarantor. Then he goes down to someone else and says, here's what I can pay you on this contract, which is flow down from the brand itself. And then it can go on and on like that down to Afghanistan. But let's say it goes down to a small town in California. And so they could be many contracts removed from the big manufacturer or the big label. And so, but if this person's paid improperly, the big label, even though it's many contracts removed, still is liable for the improper wage payment.
Wow. If people can figure it out, because the person who's not getting the full wage that they should be probably doesn't have the wherewithal or won't know that they can actually.
I have found out, but you're right. Will a person that's in that position
get that?
Want to rock the boat because they, you know, they're making some money. Maybe they, you know, maybe they're not in the country legally. You know, there could be a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
That's a possibility, but have investigations determined that there's improper paying going on? Yes. Mm. Now there's a way, because you couldn't always collect. I mean, if it was just this fly-by-night manufacturer who had the employees and they just basically pick up stakes, go away, and maybe pop up someplace else under a slightly different form, you know, that's hard to chase.
Yeah,
but if you go, oh, you're making these for Ralph Lauren, well, we can go to Ralph Lauren and get them.
Exactly. Money. That's where they want the brand. And there's so many brands being, you know, all these celebrities doing their brands. And a lot of times it's a white labeling kind of thing. And that's the way to get it, because it happens in clothing. It happens in food. I mean, look at even on your grocery store shelves. You know, they've proven that the same brand and the fancy brand is the same as a grocery store brand over and over again. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing in our clothes. It's the same. It's a big white labeling thing that's going
careful.
On.
Careful.
I know.
Careful.
I'm just saying.
You're right. It's, based on the name, the label on the clothes, you wouldn't suspect that someone, you know, let's go overseas again, someone in Afghanistan's making that clothing.
Exactly. I think they're doing that now. I don't know what's going on there now. That's a tough one. Belarus, though. Oh, but that may be a problem now too. That is a problem too. So, you know, the whole manufacturing thing of clothes could be, I mean, if you think about where our clothes are being made, you know, Honduras, Belarus, you know,
all you have
of
to
it,
do is, you know? When you buy a piece of clothing, is look on the label and it tells you where it's made.
Try to buy it locally as best we can. You know, the more, I mean, right now we're looking at this whole supply chain issue and America's getting a big fat wake up call. Hello, we've been outsourcing everything for years. And now, oopsie, we can't get it all in. And, you know, companies that have been manufacturing in this country had to charge more because they're doing it on their own, don't have the big cost breakdown. And they're going, hey, I can deliver your window sooner because we have our own manufacturing. You don't have to wait 6 months. We got it in 5 weeks or whatever it is. Sorry, I'm just heard an ad for this of some company.
You're doing an ad for who?
No, it was some window company in Maryland or something. Virginia, I was listening to this interview about
okay.
it. But they're like, hey, we're our own manufacturers. And they're like, you don't have to wait the 6 months that everybody else is doing. You can actually have, and it's winter. It's, you want your windows when you're in Maryland. It's cold.
I just have to say, there's also parts. Like,
yes,
you have to get parts. Things. All the ingredients that go into making whatever you're making. Even if you're based in the United States as a manufacturer, you're still going to be ordering parts from somewhere else.
It's a mess. And if we could bring our manufacturer, this is just my own opinion. Yell at me later. If we could bring our own things home at times, you know, and we lived in the country, Kenya, growing coffee, the best coffee in the world.
Yeah, but they
couldn't have
make
a cup
coffee.
Of it at that time. So we can't speak about it now, but couldn't have a cup of coffee because they didn't manufacture their coffee. They didn't process it.
They grew the plants and
they didn't process the leaves,
but they couldn't process it.
See?
So they did coffee and tea.
But this was way
plants,
back when.
Picked the leaves, but it had to go somewhere else.
And then they
processed,
and
they had to import it back. And so they would do all the real work. Send the leaves out, and then when you lived there, you would pay $40-$50 for something that over here would be $10.
Coffee and tea, the same thing. Yeah.
So it's strange. Does seem strange.
But that was way back when. But that's where we are as a country. So the garment worker thing, I go like, can't we start looking at utilizing our resources here so that we're working? It's all at home. I'm not saying not be global and work with different companies across the world or whatever, but I'm just saying
it's about the
you know what I mean?
Well, all right. So this is interesting. And we've talked back in World War II, there was talk about, well, keeping after World War II, keeping some manufacturing in the company, even though it might be more in the country, even though it might be more expensive.
Right.
Because if our source got cut, in some type of conflict or for some other reason, then we're at the mercy. And we see that a little bit in oil.
Yeah.
So there is something to be said for that. Mm-hmm. However, you know, the godfather of economics said, hey, whoever's cheapest should get it. And so that makes a lot of sense too. So if, you know,
I like globalization too. I also think it's important that we all work together. I'm not into borders and all that stuff, and apparently we have to be. So, you know, the world doesn't work the way according to Lisa.
I mean, there's a mix there. Mixed. There is some economic exchange and overlap with different countries, but then different countries may have a conflict that's not related to that, and that can really affect the supply chain.
But Ward, we ended up selling arms and aircraft and stuff to different countries, warcraft
that we didn't
and
want
then
to.
Next thing you know, they'd sell it to somebody else that's our enemy. Like, hello, not just this country did it, Russia's done it.
I didn't know
that until we started doing all these shows on stuff, and I'm like,
why did that happen?
And now they're back at us and they've got souped up even more. Like, how did that happen? And apparently we have people that train people. So, you know, it's very interesting how it works, but I do believe we should still have global connection. I just feel like we shouldn't give the farm away. Like Nancy was saying, we should be able to have a little bit here. Like you were saying about after World War II, have something here that we're not like, oh, duh, we don't know how to do anything anymore. You know what I mean? I do, speaking of that, want to talk to you down the road about AI and what's happening to the workforce. Because we hear about that right now with Amazon having, you know, like a racist platform back in the, and they've stopped that where they were doing their hiring and it was only for men because of
who. Oh, I did see something about that.
Yeah, because no matter what,
enough,
we've got to think America, you know, AI, artificial intelligence, everything works about what humans put into the computer. What, you know, it's like setting up a database, setting up a Google calendar, even. We put it in there, not Google. We put it in there. So it's very interesting what's going to, what I see now with, you know, resumes being done online and they're looking at people just on their video and it's being filtered through an algorithm. So, you know, it could be by race. It could be by shape.
Is the algorithm racist?
Started by a human though, because we created the algorithm.
Or sexist. It could be, you know, are they
sexist? Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. Whatever the violation.
Like asking if you're male or female.
So I wonder what's going to happen. Is it going to be employment law on AI? I think your AI is going to, the AI is going to change employment law. I think you're going to end up in cases about people having AI issues.
Well, okay. So in terms of discrimination, there is a flavor of discrimination that is based on the statistics that you gather in an event, like, well, who are you hiring? Let's break that down. And then you can say, well, there's not enough of this group that's protected, and that can start a case. So you're right. If AI is, for whatever reason, I'm sure, you know, the computer is not racist or sexist, but for whatever reason, it's discriminating, that could still be a case.
But it's being fixed. I think people are fixing it. Okay, because Amazon did a no-no.
But the computer could be racist or sexist because it's being programmed by
to
a
to be
human.
Racist or sexist. And it wasn't, it just was
possible.
One, and it could be a human error of just typing in one thing and then it becomes this big issue that wasn't meant to be as well, just because you put in
that could be
one word.
I was just thinking that the algorithm's working properly and for whatever reason, it's filtering some people out that happen to be in a group. I mean, I don't think it has to be a purposeful thing.
Oh,
it
no,
doesn't have to be,
but, it could still, because,
but it could get a company into trouble just still, because of that.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's still being programmed by
because
people.
We're new at it. We're still new at it. This is still new. Like, you got to remember when Google first came out, in everybody, the big .com wars. Remember that whole thing?
That,
I mean,
yeah.
I've got to think our magazine started pre-Google. That's how ancient we are. We're freaking dinosaurs.
Yeah,
I know. Pre-Google? We're Yes, we're dinosaurs, you know? But you got to think, like, everybody, the big .com, everybody bought up all the domain names, and there's still a little bit of that going on if you have a good one.
Oh,
but remember
then,
boom, boom, all these businesses crash, boom, boom, all around us, the big hype. And I think AI is going to stay. It's not going away. It is going to get bigger
and
bigger.
That's
going to
be the future.
It's not going away. It is here. It is the future. But we're in that test ground where there's going to be a whole bunch of mistakes, just like cars, self-driven cars.
Yeah.
You know, those weird things.
Well, those are doing real well.
You're right. Sure.
So we can have that. But it's going to be an interesting time. And there's going to be employment lawsuits. Employment law cases that you're going to get that have to do with AI, and I can't wait to see what happens
with that robot. I'm ready.
I know R2-D2 is going to come in.
I know.
You know,
it'd be funny though when you think about it. A robot
Ward is representing R2-D2.
Yeah. Beep beep boom bing bing.
Yeah, there it is. Imitate it. I can't do that.
But everyone, again, this Ward Heinrichs, go to his article up on blendradioandtv.com. It's up in our Success Express section. Just type in Ward Heinrichs. You'll see all his articles. And also go to bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com. See, I don't have to look at my notes for that. That's a good domain name. He won in the .com wars.
He
Ward
got it.
Won. He knew how to do it.
Yeah.
And of course, keep up with him. He's going to be on our fourth Wednesday. Every fourth Wednesday, it's Wednesdays with Ward Time. And
Woo!
We'll discuss what's going on.
There
and obviously, we already have a lot of new things to talk about. And maybe a law will change by then. Right, Ward? It could happen.
Well, the COVID thing could come out of court. We'll get a ruling and we'll be talking about it.
Awesome. I mean, not necessarily awesome in that, but it'll be awesome to have our next segment with you. And everyone, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We air daily, except for major holidays. We take some time off because we all should have some time off over those special occasions. So keep up with us, bigblendradio.com. Thanks so much, Ward.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.